Our scripture reading this evening is taken from 1 Corinthians 12, and it's verses 12 to 30. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 30. We read, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts." We'll pray and we'll have a little look at that together. Father, thank you for your word, encouraging us, revealing to us the body of Christ. And as we are part of the body of Christ gathered here tonight, we pray that you would minister to us. We pray that each one of us would be open to blessing the other, that being part of your body would not be dependent upon any one person, but that each of us would play our part in strengthening and building up the body of Christ. And the body of Christ that meets in this place here in Lansing. So Father, just help us as we reflect upon these verses a little. Please help me, Father, because we're wanting you to speak to us, each one of us, myself included. In Jesus' name. Amen. I knew that we would be breaking bread this evening. I knew that there would be the opportunity to meditate upon what Christ has done for us. And that's why the first thing was to think of the body of Christ in terms of the Lord Jesus, who came in human form, in human flesh. And there was that day when he allowed his body to be humiliated, to be spat upon, to be taken and nailed to the cross for us. And in that sense, the body of Christ is incredibly precious, because although we know many people suffer, and in fact, many others were crucified during that era, that period of time when the Romans used that as a form of execution, what we are profoundly disturbed and also blessed about is that Jesus, the Son of the living God, came in a human body and allowed that body to be broken, to be taken, to be nailed to the cross for us. And we will never get our heads around just the wonder that Jesus, who was God, Almighty God, who could have stopped those events at any moment, doesn't matter how hostile the crowd were, doesn't matter how many weapons they had, all of that would be quite irrelevant. If Jesus said, enough, stop, they'd have had to stop. They could have all been scattered. They could have all been struck dead in a moment. Should Jesus have chosen? But he didn't do that, because he knew the only way that we could be saved was through him enduring and laying down his life for us. But in Scripture, we also read that we are the body of Christ, that we are his hands and feet, that we have a part to play in his kingdom. And the challenging thing and the important thing, and I know you're aware of this, I don't expect I'm going to be telling you something tonight that you've never heard of before, but what we are aware of from this passage, and indeed other parts of Scripture, is that we all need each other. We all have a part to play, and it is a matter of discovering the part that God has called us to play, and it's a matter of working together for the kingdom of God, for the blessing of the community that we are a witness to. Together, corporately, we want people to look at our collective lives and say, in this people, we see Jesus. None of us will be able to show Jesus in his entirety on our own. But together, with the different personalities and giftings that we have, as a collective group of people, as a corporate group of people, together we are able to cause people around us to say we meet Jesus when we come together as his people. Now, when we look at the passage, we do read, indeed, that it's one spirit that brings this body together. And one of the things about the body of Christ is that there has been an active relationship with the Holy Spirit for every member of the body of Christ. Because that's what makes us live. That's what brings a dynamic to our individual role, but then coming together as a corporate body. What's bringing life to that and relevance to that and effectiveness to that is that we have experienced the same Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean our experience is identical, but we've all experienced the Holy Spirit's work, for example, in convicting us of sin and righteousness and judgment. That's how we came into the kingdom, that the Holy Spirit worked in us. And one day we realized that we were sinners needing salvation. It was the Holy Spirit who worked in us to help us understand that what Jesus did on the cross was for us. It's never ever worked out by the mind alone. That revelation of understanding what Jesus did so long ago, historically, was relevant for us. And there are times, indeed, when it's almost as if it was happening in front of our eyes because of the reality that God's Spirit brings to us of what this sacrifice means. So God's Spirit has been at work in us. We responded to his conviction regarding our sin, and we repented. We responded in terms of his revelation of Jesus and who he is, we responded and said, we want this Jesus. We invite him to come into our lives. The same Spirit. And whether you came to Jesus as a child, as a teenager, or a much older person, whatever the circumstances, whatever events helped to bring you to that point. You may have been in a Sunday school, you may have been watching a Christian film, you may have been at a rally, at a mission, a crusade, whatever, but it was the same Holy Spirit at work who brought you and me to Christ and subsequently brings us together. And it's the same Holy Spirit, he is the one who is able to fill us and give us power to be witnesses for Jesus. We drink from the same Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit for every one of us. And we know that the expression of the Spirit of God can be incredibly varied. And we know there are those who we might define as incredibly charismatic, and there may be those who we define as incredibly quiet. But the reality is that you cannot be a witness for Jesus unless the power of God's Spirit touches your life. You cannot be an effective servant of God unless the Spirit of God is filling your life. And however you engage, to have that desire, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, come and take control of me. Come and enable me to be the person that you designed me to be and to play the part you've called me to play in the body of Christ. Sometimes we use the word anointing. It can be used a bit carelessly and a bit flippantly. But what it means, as I understand it, is that an anointing is that touch of the Holy Spirit that enables and transcends our human gifts, or sometimes we don't even have the gift, but he is the one who helps us to do what God has called us to do. And we need that touch from him, not just to kick things off and then we can manage without him. Far from it. We're very conscious that we need that continued enabling, that continued touch of him upon us, so that what we do today has the same freshness and the same incisiveness and the same sharpness that it had the very first time we experienced him. So one Spirit. We are, as we've said, one body. That means that we do need to work together. It's not very helpful if the hand was having an argument with the foot. And we do know that, I can put it a bit comically in one way, but we do know how tragic it is sometimes when people have severe health issues, problems where parts of their body are doing something which the person doesn't really want them to do. That coordination is lacking. But we want a healthy body of Christ where every part of the body is functioning and functioning in harmony with the rest of the body. And therefore, the important thing to grasp, surely, from that is how important every member of the body is. There is no ranking in terms of this part of the body is more important than that part. In God's eyes, we are all important. Paul acknowledges that there are certainly some parts that appear a little bit less glamorous and what have you. But in stating that, he's not actually relegating them. He's not criticizing them and saying, well, they don't matter. He's just making the point that there are some who are gifted to do things that are very quiet and behind the scenes. And they're not out front and everybody knows what's going on. Thank goodness not everybody can see what's happening inside my tummy tonight, and so on. We know that's not necessary, it's not helpful, but we're mighty glad that things are working. And there are so many in the body of Christ who are effectively working, playing their part, but you don't necessarily see what is happening. So we are one body, And therefore, we need, because of the one Spirit, to seek the grace of God that we should work together. This one body, Paul talks about belonging to one another. And that is definitely something that the Holy Spirit does. You may, in your natural family, have a sense of belonging. You may be a mother who has born the children into the world, or a father who sired them. You may have had a very active part in someone coming about, as it were. But actually, in the body of Christ, there is a spiritual belonging. There is a sense each one of us are important to the other, and we need each other, and we want to communicate with each other. We want to support and help one another to grow and mature, to be effective in the body of Christ. Now, Paul does talk about many gifts, and there's a great big list. You may have noticed them as I read them through, but there are these gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance. He mentions different kinds of tongues. He mentions apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, gifts of healing, all sorts of things. And the important thing, again, is for people to humbly seek God as to the contribution that we are called to play. And one of the ways that we discover that is by humbly submitting to one another. And literally, in terms of where we are here, we are looking to God that together, being different, many different gifts and many different people, but we are looking to God for that grace and that help, which means that when God sends into our midst someone who is to be our new pastor, that we find that as a body, we are able to say, amen, yes, this is the person. But that's a divine activity. It's not something that is achieved out of our humanity. Because in our humanity, we'll end up with preferences. And if someone has a beard, we may love them, and someone has a beard, we don't think that's a good idea. And those facile things become crucial sometimes in people's decisions. But no, we're looking for the heart. We're looking for people. We're looking for the person who we sense has been given a heart for this church and for this flock of God, for this body of people. And we need to be together on that. We need to have a very incredible sense together, this is right. And God can do that. God does do that. Whether the systems we use are as helpful as they might be, there can be lots of questions about that. In other words, having a vote and all sorts of things. But whatever method is used, the result we desire to be, this is the person that God has chosen for us. And so all of these different gifts, all of these different ways of operating in the body of Christ, and we're looking to God to help us find the particular way that he has called us to operate in this time. So we thank God. Even tonight, as we look round, we're grateful that we have Eve and Glenys who are operating the system and making sure that I'm not turned down, but that I'm able to convey things at a reasonable level. We're grateful for Sue and for Erica. I'm having to look at you because if I close my eyes, I would forget who's here. But we're grateful for Sue and Erica, who I don't think I'm being presumptuous, but there should be a cup of coffee and a cup of tea afterwards that they will provide. Now they'll feel they've got to. But we're grateful for those gifts. We're grateful for Roland, who is one of the elders who served as long as anybody in the church, and for all of the experience that brings. We're grateful for Graham, and your faithfulness. I don't think you came forward when we prayed for people to space at the table, but I think you were one of them. You didn't get there this time. Okay, well, I didn't want to... I know you have in the past, though. I know you were involved. And we're grateful for Brian and Joyce and for the way that they've been faithful to this church for many years. And we're grateful for Bessie, who will let us in quite often. We're grateful for Mark and Linda, who, again, have been part of the church for many, many years. And we know the work that's going on with our young people. We're grateful for Peter. And we're grateful for the way that you lead worship and for your work with the food bank. And we're grateful for Linda. Grateful for Linda because of the gifts that she has musically, to be able to play. And I always personally quite like it when you play the violin, because although I value what you do on the keyboard, we have lots of keyboard players, but I don't think we've got many people playing the violin. We're grateful for Rebecca, for the way that she helps with the young people on a Wednesday night. We're grateful for the role that she has. And we're grateful for Karen, who has an incredible capacity to receive vast numbers at her home, sometimes with lots of notice and sometimes perhaps not quite so much. But for the gifts that she has, we're grateful for Ali, who's been part coming in here for many years. And of course, I'm grateful for Elaine, which was not last but least, but far from it. But very much grateful. As a body of Christ, I've just illustrated, I hope you realised, many different people, many different personalities, very different gifts, but working together, we are able to honour the Lord Jesus. Did I mention you, Eve? I did, thank goodness. there's no one hiding, is there, around the corner, who I've forgotten. But what we're sharing tonight is that we are the body of Christ. We know there are others who are not here. We are the body of Christ. Together, we are able to discern and to know the gifts of God and the will of God in a way that any one of us on our own would be unable to do. We need each other. And at this time, we most certainly need each other as we seek to go forward. But I finish by reminding us that it is one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is able to make this all happen. And we simply need to cry out, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Because what you do in me is going to enable me to be the blessing that my brothers and sisters need, so that together we reveal to others the love and the holiness, the righteousness of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to finish, I believe, with You Led Me to the Cross. Is that right?